You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, I'm Jody the Mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr the Doc. And welcome to Mom and Doc Talk. We are so excited to have another couple of guests here with us today to share their story and their experience in dealing with PANS and healing with homeopathy and their recovery journey. So let me just dive right in and introduce them to you. We have Lori, who is a 43-year-old panda mom of two girl pandas, age 8 and 11. So just to be clear, that's Lori has pandas herself and has kids who have pandas. Wife of an ASD, so autism spectrum disorder, husband, court reporter in another life pre-COVID, currently manager of Organized Chaos at the Hill of Beans, part of the Americans for Homeopathy Choice Homeopathy Action Team or HAT team, fierce advocate for things that she believes in and intentionally attempting to heal generational trauma. She loves assisting, coaching, and watching her girls play basketball and softball and is forever learning and growing. And then there's Poppy, who is an 11-year-old panda for 6.5 years, healing with Resilience Naturopathic, also the practice that I founded, since 2019. She is a basketball player, an avid reader, a green belt in Taekwondo. She's on the mock trial team at school, on the Battle of the Books team at school, believer in justice and doing the right thing. She is articulate. She is aware. She's a loyal friend, a big sister, assertive, competitive, loves music, loves to swim. And both of them happen to be SoCal girls born and raised. And I am so excited to have you guys here. We have interviewed you a couple of times for our Facebook group. And we were chatting before we got started about how, Poppy, you've just had some really great things to share. I know you're going to have even more great things to share today, but I just want to make sure we give that call out right up front that the last time we spoke for our Facebook videos, there was some just real gems that you had to share about the experience of PANS and healing from PANS. And so for anybody who hasn't joined us yet, that's a really great reason to join, because you can find that video and watch it. And I think it would be really useful to both parents and kids to check that out. So let's dive in, though. How did PANS first show up in your life? Tell us your story.
You want me to field this one?
Yeah.
Because you're pretty little. So very interesting story. Looking back, Poppy was my first kiddo who got pandas. I would say she was probably about 4.5. You can always see more in hindsight about when it actually happened, because there's always that discussion about, did it happen overnight, or was it this, you know, long progression, or is that whole thing muffled because we just really don't know and we're not looking at the signs, because a lot of behaviors can be age appropriate. So I'm going to say 4.5. Her behaviors started changing and getting really aggressive. We were about 1.5 years after having our other daughter. And honestly, I just thought she's going to be a kid who hates having a sister and she wants to be an only kid. And, so there were things popping through and life just was not happy, because before the other kid, Poppy is just a glowing individual who I'm sure you'll see here today. But who just bright and articulate and funny and, just a great kid. And some of her behaviors were so out of character for her. And I really honestly didn't know what was up, and it was very frustrating. And, you know, new mom of trying to juggle two kids. Anyways, long story short, she kept having this rash, on her bum and the doctor kept writing it off as, well, she wouldn't have diapers at that time, but just a rash, like a fungal rash. So, you know, they kept giving us Lotrimin or whatever and put it on, and then it would go away. And I didn't think much of it until later, again, in hindsight. And we were on a vacation in Hawaii. We had done a long flight and we had to go to urgent care because everything was bothering her. We went there. This doctor saw the rash and we were met with surprise from this doctor who had never seen it. And that took us a whole different route. But long story short, she met with colleagues. And by the next morning, she said, "Have you ever heard of perianal strep?" And I said, "No." And she actually had never heard of it either. And so she said, I think this is perianal strep and you have to treat it differently. And I'm sure they gave us antibiotics or something. Anyways, that really got me clued into this strep. From there, I started going down rabbit holes online and somehow put pandas with strep. And then I started noticing if she was having behaviors, I would check. And then there was the rash. And so then it was pretty much worked like clockwork, you know, behaviors, yeah. Rash, behaviors, rash. And that's what really led me to just diving deeper and, you know, figured out the pandas thing.
And then how did you figure it out for yourself, Lori?
So I had a lot of strep as a kid. I am a hair puller, so I have trichotillomania even now. I've been doing that since I was like 13. Lots of random OCD stuff, things that I never knew were tics back then, but I would definitely say I have tics even now. There's things I've done for years that were just quirky. And my best friend who's known me since I was 7 will laugh and say, are you going to measure your wrists again? Are you going to do your thing? You know, never thought about it. Anyway, so when I started looking into pandas and the strep thing, honestly, it was, you know, one of those 2 in the morning things and a light bulb went off. I called my mother and I said, what do you know about this thing called pandas? And she was like, why did you just say that? And back when pandas came on the scene, it was like early 90s, and that was Sue Sweeto, and my mom knew of who that was, and she said, someone mentioned that to me way back then when you started pulling out your hair, but I it wasn't really big. And remember, internet had barely just started. We're talking the green screen, you've got mail, you know, AOL, all that kind of stuff. So I remember her being in chat groups back then, but I had never heard of pandas my whole life until Poppy and then me researching for her. So once I started reading up on it and putting two and together, I was like, holy smokes, I'm a panda. I am a panda. I've always believed that whatever is going on here could be solved. I've gone down the route of SSRIs and antidepressants and OCD treatments and all that, and nothing has ever worked. Mm-hmm. And I still fully function, but that has always plagued me forever. So once I put that together, honestly, I believed that there was higher power putting this in my face for a reason. And here we are today. And I still believe that.
I know that your younger sister Poppy has pandas too, as we shared in the introduction. So I'm curious if you guys are willing to share a little bit about what pandas looks like in your home. Because I'm sure it's different for all of you because it's slightly different. You know, we can say if we had 10 kids in my office here who had pandas, they'd have one thing in common, and that's that they met the criteria for the diagnosis, but nothing else would be exactly in common, because if you met one kid with pandas, you've met one kid with pandas. So if you were willing to share a little bit about the different experiences that you guys have had with it, I would love to hear about what pandas has looked like for you guys.
Yeah, so it's kind of different for everyone in my family because we all have different symptoms and kind of different forms of it, I guess. So, but it's not really like abnormal because it's just like our normal. Mm-hmm. Like my mom was really smart and she made this binder with a symptom tracker, which is something you should do. And it has all of our symptoms so she can write it down and take note of when we took our remedy, or just take note of when we had a symptom. So it helped her keep track. So that it's like, it would be abnormal for someone who wasn't in my family, but it's normal for her to ask us about her symptoms every day after school. Or it's normal for her to like write it down all the time. But I feel like we all have kind of different experiences and we all have different symptoms. So I can't really say how it is for them, but it just feels pretty normal for me.
Yeah. Would you mind sharing what some of your symptoms are, Poppy?
I've gotten past a lot of my old symptoms. The only thing that I really have...
What have you gotten past? Why don't you start with that?
When I was younger, I had really bad aggression, mm-hmm. like, against my sister. Like, I would not... Okay, I didn't do this, like, for meanly, like, as you know. But I would, like, pinch her and hit her because that was one of my symptoms. I also got very bad stomach aches, and every day I would call from school and say, Mom, can you come pick me up from school? So I got really bad stomach aches, and I honestly don't have stomach aches like at all anymore, and I don't have like aggression out of control like I used to anymore. So those are two of really the bigger symptoms that I've gotten past.
Yeah. And you want me to talk about Kobe? Yeah. So younger sis, both kids are very different in general personalities, and
we have nothing in common, like at all.
Except that they came from me. So even their pandas looks very different. Poppy, more impulsivity. And I laugh because she's like my dry dosing pellet taker. And then you have Kobe, my sensitive soul. And she had we don't call it school refusal, you know, separation anxiety, lots of urinary stuff, all the urinary stuff, whether it was frequency, we couldn't leave the house for a period of time, and accidents. And you had your handwriting.
When I was in school, my handwriting was so terrible. And now it's gotten so much better, but it was like you couldn't even read it like at all. So I'm really proud of myself.
And what else does she have?
She kind of gets, she's scared of a lot of things. Yeah. Like she's scared of the being dark, alone. Being alone.
She does a lot of lip picking or skin picking. That kind of thing. She also had perianal rash. That was
kind of more like, I don't really do ticks. She's more of kind of like the one with the ticks, I'd say, because she like bites her nails. She like picks, you know, the skin off her lip.
You have more OCD kind of.
More like I have pretty bad OCD. Like someone sits on my bed, I'm going to get all tense and nervous. And I'm going to be like, can you please get off my bed? And I have to organize things in a certain way. Like when I'm in a flare, I sometimes go into, so my mom works at a therapy office, and I go in there and I start rearranging all of the decor and everything, even though it was fine the way it was. So that's kind of the way she knows, like, what's going on, because I'll just start organizing random things that another kid wouldn't care about at all.
Yeah. Anything else you want to share about your symptoms, Lori?
Well, obviously the main one, hair pulling, still doing it. I feel like a lot of that is a learned thing after so many years, 3 decades. It's a hard one. I think there was a lot of emotional stuff that I didn't see as part of a pandas thing. You know, as a kid, I think pandas looked so different back when I had it as a kid. You know, they didn't really even call it that. I mean, I guess Susweeto did, but nobody was believing it at the time. And, you know, you learn to cope as an adult, right? And I think that, like, for my kids, their pandas sent them through the roof, you know, totally different kid, and we're not functioning. When I was a kid, yeah, I pulled out my hair and it was super weird. And everybody thought I was weird. And of course, I have all these crazy memories, you know, where people would see it and nobody would know what to do and how they treated it. But it's just part of me now. So different from then. There was no one trying to actively heal it in the way we do now. Mm-hmm. So very different, and just irritability and more mom type stuff. And then, like I said, there's the tics. Mm-hmm. I have a symmetrical thing where if I'm walking and I stumble on this foot, sometimes I have to stumble on this foot and it has to be the same. And if it was more, then it has to be less. And so a lot of symmetrical type stuff, my body and my limbs.
And to just validate, you guys both know, at least I'm pretty sure that you know Poppy, I know Lori, you know, that I also was a kid who likely would have been diagnosed with PANS had I been born younger. Because it was like, I think it was 1998 that officially the first paper came out about pandas, and I was way too old because at that point I was 19, so I wouldn't have met the criteria based off of what they said. But I, when you look back retrospectively, I had all the symptoms, right? With the exception, I didn't have many tics. I probably had a few tics, but not very many. But I had the rage, I had the anxiety, I had the intrusive thoughts, I had the urinary stuff, I had the cognitive regression, all those things. And so just to validate both your experience, my experience, and anybody else who's listening, who probably had it, you know, Jody nodding over here too, because you probably were probably a pants kid too. What a lot of what happened too is that it wasn't necessarily that it got ignored. It just got called something else and a psychiatric medication was offered, you know? So it's just understanding that it's a different thing. It's a whole different beast instead of let's just pile on all these psych meds. And, you know, all the kids who, you know, you got a psychiatric diagnosis and then had a really negative reaction to the psychiatric medication might have actually been a PANS kid, because PANS kids tend to need a significantly smaller dose of psychiatric medications because they tend to be more sensitive to it, because it's not a psychiatric problem, right? It's an immune problem. Anyway, moving on from there.
Poppy, tell us a little bit about how your symptoms impacted you at school.
So, like I already said, I had very bad stomach aches, and there was a mom who my mom was friends with, and she was a school aide who basically is in the classroom helping the teacher out. And I had such bad stomach aches, I would curl up into a ball and like start crying, and she'd be rubbing my stomach. And every day I'd go to the nurse and be like, can you please come pick me up? Can you please come pick me up? And for a while, it felt like nothing was helping. Like I tried heating pads. I tried all of this stuff, medicine, but I actually have not had a stomach ache in a long time. So another thing was math was really hard for me because so one day I would be really good at it and I'd be know what was going on. And the next day you could ask me, what's subtraction? And I would have no idea what you were talking about. I would forget everything and I would get so frustrated. Because I'd be frustrated at myself because I felt like I was letting myself down because I felt like I knew I could do better. But like I knew it wasn't really me because I know that I'm better than that. But that was another thing that was hard for me because it just frustrated me because also I'm just like, I don't like math anyways. So it was made it a lot more frustrating. And another thing, like I already said, my handwriting, it was so sloppy. And it looked like something that a kindergartner could do better than me. But now I think it's way better. So I don't really have any of those symptoms anymore. But it was tough when I was having them because it was affecting me and my mental health.
I think the handwriting thing is so interesting because it did not happen to my youngest. And I don't recall it happening to me. But with Poppy, it really stunted those years where I think kids are using their hands a lot and doing, what's the motor movement, you know?
Manual dexterity.
Yes, that kind of stuff. And so, like, Poppy hated art.
Yeah, so after seeing my writing for a while, I felt like it wasn't getting better. Like, one time in class, we were trying to do cursive writing. That did not go well at all. But after that, I just was so, like, frustrated and disappointed that I didn't believe in myself, believe that I could do anything else. So for a long time, I hated art. I wouldn't do it because I thought that I would do bad and it would be like my writing. Like for a long time, I wouldn't even pick up a paper and a pencil. And even if like my mom said, you want a sketch pad for Christmas? I'd be like, no way. Don't even buy me like that.
Yeah.
But
very negative reaction to those type of things.
I still struggle with it a little bit because I always want it to be like perfect and I don't want any pencil lines to show, but I'm working on it. It's hard because I always wanted everything to be so perfect. I don't want to mess up, but I'm trying to learn that it's not about like being perfect. Like that's literally not what art is. It's supposed to be like free, but I feel like maybe I'm just not an art person in general.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you guys bring that up because I never put two and two together, but I had a similar thing. I hated art and like through elementary school, and then something shifted and I actually became one of the better artists in my class, like in my school. And I had like a lot of things that were hung up and, you know, on display around the school too. So that's an interesting thing. I hadn't even really thought about that.
That's awesome. I want to do that.
Yeah.
I'd also kind of made its way into more than just art, you know, like, so I just think about all the things that younger sister's in. She is the person that has all the recyclables and can make anything out of anything, you know, that's who she is. And she loves to sew, and Poppy wouldn't do any of that stuff at the time. It's just weird.
I wasn't really at the time a creative person. Like if I would not do arts and crafts, any form of like art, because I had to use my hands, and I kind of didn't trust my hands because I felt like they kind of let me down.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that because I was younger, but I didn't realize that was actually my brain. Like, my hands are fine. But I was pretty, like, young, like, first, second grade. So that's probably why I didn't realize it at the
time. Do you remember when COVID had just started and we were at home and a friend dropped off that little rubber band loom or something?
Yes. So
and then you said, I don't know if you remember, but we were a little bit into homeopathy. It had been a couple months. We were home with COVID, which was insane. And this friend drops off this little thing.
She brought me this little, like, you know, the rubber bands to make bracelets, and then this little loom where you, like, put them together.
And yeah. And so Poppy decided to do it that day. And I'll never forget because I was bawling. And she said, "Oh my God, I never thought I'd be able to do this." And that was one of our huge hallelujah moments with homeopathy. It was pretty fairly, well, early on, honestly.
It was really awesome.
Maybe 6 months in. And she was able to do that. And she enjoyed it. And so she did that for a little bit of time. It was a big deal. Awesome.
I thought it was cool, and I'm going to try to take those opportunities more because I look back and I'm be like, wow, there's so many times I could have done art with, like, my sister because she loves art, and I hated it, and I wouldn't, like, draw with her. She'd be like, "Will you draw with me?" And I'll be like, "No way." So now I'm going to try to say yes more often and do it so I can kind of make up for the times that I didn't do it.
Yeah, that's sweet.
What about your friendships? How did PANS and your symptoms impact your friendships that you had?
That's a good question. So I would say it didn't really impact my friendships outside of school because they understood, because I could like explain it to them because they're like friends outside of school. But it impacted my friendships inside of school because I was young. I was like in first grade and I didn't know how to explain it to them. And I probably wasn't going to. And so there'd be one side of me, which is probably why they'd be friends with me, right? Like the side that everyone likes to have their friends. And I would turn into this like whole different person. Like I'd be aggressive or I'd be like all nervous. And I think it kind of freaked them out a little bit because they started to not hang out with me anymore. I think they thought that was a little weird. And it's just like affected it in school because I couldn't explain it to them because one, it was kind of personal at the time, and also they weren't like, I was in first grade, I didn't know how to explain it, so it affected my friendships because I kind of lost some friends because of this other side of me, and I didn't know how to explain it, so I kind of lost some friends because I couldn't, like, they thought I was weird or something, I don't know. Yeah.
It sounds like you were really aware of what was happening, even if you didn't know how to explain it. Like you were aware of the way it was affecting you at school. You were aware of how it was affecting your friends. And it sounds like you had some hits to your confidence, maybe.
So I wouldn't say I was aware as I was now. I was like a little bit because my mom explained it to me. Mm-hmm. But I was so confused. I was like, what is going on? Why are they not hanging out with me? But if I look at it from my perspective, my 11-year-old perspective, and not my 7-year-old perspective, I can kind of see why they would be kind of like frightened or like confused.
Yeah.
So
in the moment, you didn't have like the same awareness that you have right now.
No, I was very young, and we just started, so I kind of didn't understand what was going on, and I was just confused. Like, kind of startled. I was like, oh my gosh, what is happening? But looking at it now, I can kind of understand. And I would hope that if they hung out with me now, maybe they'd see, like, a different side of me. Mm-hmm. And they would, like, understand. Because I would be able to explain it better than, like, how I did probably when I was 7 years old.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, you guys are a family, as you shared in your with our bios, that everyone is impacted by neurodiversity. So can you tell me more about what that's like in your home where everybody's got something going on and how you gonna navigate that?
It's a circus. it really is kind of a circus. No, it's there's pluses and then there's some definite challenges to that. All of us are on these different journeys right now. Homeopathy has allowed us the opportunity to dive into ourselves more and probably be more aware than any human ever would be on their own.
Like we're tracking random things that people probably wouldn't even think about.
I think about families who maybe have just a kid that has PANDAS and how different it would be, because at our house we all have something, but I think the beauty of all of us having something is we've learned so much empathy about each other.
We also like understand each other.
Yeah.
Because if let's say it was just like my younger sister, we would be kind of confused and we probably wouldn't know how to help them. Or my sister, because we wouldn't be in their like shoes. But since we all kind of have something, kind of helps us to laugh at it and kind of like have more empathy towards each other. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't understand, you would just be sincere and you'd be sorry. But if you actually are in their shoes, you'd be empathetic and you'd understand what they were going through, so you can like understand why it's hard for them.
I think we can give each other more grace because of it.
Yeah.
Because we all have times when we fall off, for lack of better words. And you know, the others around us know what that feels like and looks like. And so the grace is extended as we put ourselves back together. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah, that's awesome. Lori, whenever you guys, how did you first discover homeopathy? And then what made you get to the point where you're like, okay, we're going to try this?
So when I found that Susan Sweeto Pandas thing, I, like every other parent, went onto Facebook and knew there had to be all these groups. So I started joining all the groups. I honestly wish I could remember what post it was that said homeopathy. I have no idea. Jody, it could have been yours. It probably was yours. I'd like to say thank you to that human who said something. And I didn't even know what homeopathy was. I think I'm with the majority who thinks homeopathy is homeopathic anything, right? Anything natural on the counter, which it's not. It's its own set of medicine. But at the time, I had never heard of it, never used it. And so the first thing I did is I didn't want Poppy to go the antibiotic route because I didn't want to mess up her gut because she had the belly aches. I grew up Western medicine, didn't know anything different, but I knew there had to be some sort of naturopath. We found this specialist down in about an hour away from us.
Los Angeles or a little bit farther.
Yeah. So I found her, booked with her, you know, Pandas was a tagline on her credentials. She wasn't a specialist. I wouldn't call her specialist by any means. She had heard of it. Therefore that made her specialist. We went down there, you know, walked out $4,000 later with 8 million tests. How was that day for you?
It was interesting. I don't remember too much because I may have blocked those memories out, or I just was too young to remember. But I'm pretty sure that we did blood tests. We did these tests where she rubbed a bunch of different things on my skin to see what I was allergic to, I think, right?
Yeah. Lots of pokes and prods.
It was very interesting. It was like kind of like a fairy tale.
But we went that route first. She gave us a protocol and we started it. And as we were doing it, and as I had my mad scientist kitchen lab with all the supplements and multiple times a day and everything, I just couldn't believe that that was all that was out there. And that's when I, you know, read, I was in the groups every night. You finally get the kids down enough time so I can sit there and research some more. And somehow I stumbled across it. And then somehow I stumbled across your group. Thank goodness. And I don't even know. I don't even know. And then as far as starting, I don't even know that I lurked around for that long because I was so desperate to get out of the state that we were in. I was like, I don't care if this works. I don't want to do it. I didn't want to be a part of that. So I think also me being a panda and pulling out my hair for 30 plus years made me feel like, oh my God, this could be my answer. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what really pushed me into homeopathy. I don't know. It was very intriguing.
Yeah. Poppy, I'm curious what you thought of it when you first started, because it's very different, as your mom was saying, like not a whole bunch of pokes and prods, not a ton of supplements or medicines or anything. So yeah, what'd you think of it?
I was very young, like I've said a lot. Yeah. I didn't really know what it was, but I was just happy to be not taking like 18 different things a day. And it was so simple, just like one little thing, pellet, whatever you call it. It was so simple. And I just felt more like it was working, because also it just felt like way more easier. Like my mom didn't have to be making all this stuff and I didn't feel like a lab experiment or something. It was just really easy. Like it just felt like something like you would buy from the store, like that you would use like ibuprofen, for example. Like it didn't feel like you were creating a bunch of concoctions. It just felt simple. And I actually really like it. I like how simple it is. It's not hard. Mm-hmm. Like the only thing you might have to do as an extra step would dilute it, but that's mm-hmm. only for some like potencies. But I think it's very actually useful and really smart how they like created it.
Yeah. And I remember, because when you first got started with homeopathy, I didn't work directly with you, but with your mom for a couple of visits. I remember you being a pretty fast responder and it being a pretty, pretty clear change for you up front. So that probably made it easier to feel different pretty quickly without a whole lot of work behind it.
So I'm curious for both of you, what you love and also what you hate about homeopathy.
Do you want to go first or should I go
first?
You
go first.
So I don't think there's anything that I hate about it. I mean, it's really simple. And it's not like something like I have to run a mile or something. I love it because, like I said, it's simple. It like doesn't taste disgusting like the medicine I was taking. And it's just like made me feel more normal. Like I didn't feel like a science experiment. The only thing that I would say, and honestly, this isn't even bad. It's just that you have to follow your doctor's potencies. So sometimes I wanted to take it, but I couldn't because I had to follow what my doctor said, which I know that sounds kind of ridiculous, but it's, I don't hate that. I just think it's actually like really smart because if they just said, take this, and then you took way too much or too little. Yeah. So there's just sometimes that I wish I could take it. Like ibuprofen, you can kind of take it whenever. Obviously, you have to wait, but. But this, you kind of had to, it was kind of a waiting game. You kind of had to wait and see. So I just wish I could take it sometimes when I'm not allowed to or clear to, but that's not really homeopathy salt. Like, I fall.
You're impatient and you want to be able to have a little bit more control and you're not giving your body the patience that you need to, because to like, let it see if it can rebalance itself before you give it a nudge and stimulate it too much. Yeah. Yeah. I feel that. I can feel that.
Yeah. I think every mom can feel that, and dad too.
I can relate to that. That might be coming from me.
What do you love about it and what do you hate about it?
What do I love? Well, I love that there's no side effects, mild side effects, I should say. There's lots of good side effects. I love that there's always another answer. So if something doesn't work, there's
you can try another like remedy.
There's not an end of the road options. Ever, right? I love that it's simple to travel with. I love that it's cost effective. I love that it's easy and that it's something I can give my kids. And I love obviously that it's healing overall. This journey has proved invaluable. All four of us doing it especially, but I think there's things about myself I didn't even know were healable, or I didn't even know were things, and homeopathy has changed me overall. And so I will forever be in love with homeopathy. As far as what do I hate, I'm going to have to agree with Poppy because I'm kind of impatient too. I might be a little bit of an overdoser. That's a terrible phrase, but you know, kind of pushing a little bit when you're not supposed to. The waiting game is hard. It's really hard sometimes. I mean, it's totally worth it.
Yeah.
And our provider always knows, and she always has to tell me to dial it back a little bit. So one day my kids are going to figure out that I'm the one that caused the aggravations, but that's all right for another day.
You just told me right now.
Just saying.
So I'm curious for both of you what life is like now for your family, how that you've all been healing with homeopathy and doing it together.
Should I go?
You want me to go?
I want to go.
Okay.
It's been way better because before we were doing homeopathy, it kind of felt like we were living in a tornado of chaos. Because I'd be over here like a crazy angry tornado. Toby would be like, what is going on? And mom and dad are rushing, trying to fix it. And it's kind of like, I know this sounds dumb. I'm the fire on the house. My parents are the firefighters trying to put out the fire. And my sister's the bystander, like, what is going on? And so now it's way, well, casual for us, I would say, like our family, like our circumstances, but it's way less chaotic and I feel more confident in myself. Like I'm like, I can tell myself mantras, like I feel more confident and I can be like, no, this is not like, I know this isn't me and I'll get through it. And I just feel way more calm in my home and my home doesn't feel like a war zone anymore, which is good because your home is supposed to be a place you can come back to and just relax and just not be from the chaos of the rest of your day.
I think that's a really good description. I'll just add to that I always say we've rejoined the land of the living. You know, at the beginning when you get diagnosed and you're in those stages of researching and figuring out a plan, regardless of which modality you choose, there's a long period where you kind of have to quit life and step away from it. And so nobody would even know what we go through even now because we are quote unquote normal. And in fact, a great example, the kids and their schooling. Every year since this started, I have this whole thing that I send to the teacher, right? It's a brand new teacher. I got to give them the rundown and I got to meet with them and do all the things and tell them how we're going to make this work and the 504 plan and all the things. And this year I forgot to send it, just totally forgot. About 4 weeks in, I'm like, I should probably send it. And the teacher's like, okay, but I don't see any of that in your kid, but okay, whatever you say, lady, whatever you say. I mean, it's wild. It's amazing. The kids are now able to do all those activities, you know, that we missed for so long. Birthdays, we can do milestones. We're in the middle of holiday season right now. I used to dread this time of year for so many reasons, so much STEM and stuff like that. And we also, homeopathy has allowed us, when we talked about learning about ourselves, craft our lives in such a way that works for us. Mm-hmm. And so not only have we had the ability to change all that and do what we need to do, but we can go out and do all those fun activities we want to.
Can I add on to that?
Sure.
So like she just said, when we were first starting, we kind of were on lockdown, kind of like COVID. We mm-hmm. had to miss a lot of opportunities, like fun family things that we could have done, like go out to see family in another state or like a different place far away, or just even go to a birthday party. And we had to miss out on so many different opportunities because we were kind of being held back. We had to slow down.
Yeah.
And now we get to do these things as a family. Like my school just had a movie night and we've actually went as a family. Like we didn't have to say no, because mm-hmm. when we first started, we kind of had to say no to a lot. Like mm-hmm. I had to, like when I was in a bad state or one of my family members, I had to say no to friends coming over a lot because my family wasn't like in a good space. So now we kind of get more opportunities since we're kind of more healed. So we get more opportunities to do things that we kind of missed out on when we were first starting.
I will never forget the first time that you shared in the Facebook group, a big victory, when you guys went on a road trip to Lake Tahoe. I will never forget that, because it was such a huge victory for you guys, because, you know, Lori, you have been the mama who gives the best advice, where you help people reframe, like, this you don't have to try and be all of the things that you think. Like, this is the time to, like, you know, cut down and like get, just simplify. I feel like that if we were to title this episode, that would be like the theme of it, is simple and simplification, right? You guys did, you like shrunk your lives down to be just like just the things that you needed. You changed your expectations. And so it was such a big deal, because you got your hopes up and you like expanded your expectations and you took this leap to take four people with neurodivergence and you know, inflammatory immune conditions on a long road trip to Lake Tahoe. And you did it. And it was successful. And like, I remember very clearly seeing that picture and like just the excitement on everybody's face. And it was just, it's burned in my brain.
We hadn't taken a trip in like forever. Yeah. So it may have been partially because we got to get out of the car, or we were just happy because we were there, or all of those things that you said. And it's so good that we can actually, we don't have to really plan our lives around pandas as much. Like mm-hmm. we can just be normal, like family, like no one's normal, but like kind of have a normal schedule, and we don't have to plan our lives around what might happen. We can plan, and now we've kind of got more go with the flow, because we know, oh, we might have to cancel, oh, we might have to not do this. And yeah. So we've kind of gotten better at that, and not letting our expectations be this high and then they get this low because we had something going on. But I think that our expectations have been raised a lot since we first started, because we've done a lot of fun things.
Yeah.
That trip was a big deal. That's funny that you mentioned that. There was a lot of things we overcame on that trip.
Yeah.
A lot.
Did it.
Yeah.
Lori, you guys recently had a pretty significant speed bump in your healing journey and discovered mold in your home. How did that impact you guys in all of your recovery?
Oh, that dreaded M word. So interestingly enough, this was not the first time we found mold in the house. I thought after the first time we were good. And so initially couple of years back, we found it in the mattresses, believe it or not. It was spring cleaning. I think it was during COVID. And
or I believe what may have happened was, oh yeah, I remember. So I was really little and I had an accident. So my mom had to take the sheet off the bed and then she found the mold on the mattress. And I'd been sleeping on a moldy mattress, which is really disgusting, but that's okay.
Which is really super weird because I swear we're not dirty people and they were fairly new mattresses. But what was interesting enough is there was mold in every single mattress in the house, in different rooms of the house, in the old 1951 part of the house, in the new part of the house, the slab, crawl space, like it was bizarre. Anyways, I have a feeling it happened with the covers we used, but whatever. So that was the first time we found mold, and it was jarring. I just remember bawling, equally.
It was disappointing.
Yeah, mad at myself. Mixed in with, oh my God, maybe this is why, mixed in with, why didn't I look sooner, mixed in with, oh my gosh, all the things. Anyways, we got over that hurdle and then we were cruising again. And for all intents and purposes, we kind of used Poppy as our guide. She was our first person that started in the family. We all started shortly after, but so she started cruising again. Like it was pretty instantaneous. I mean, when you're not sleeping on mold for 30 or less, it's a good thing. So in the last year and a half, we kind of stalled out a little bit again, and we're still good. We're still totally doing all the activities and stuff. So by anyone's accounts, you know, we're doing all the normal things, but there was still things like we're just not there yet.
Because I had been doing it for a long time and my mom's like, this should have gone away by now. Like what's going on? Yeah. Like, cause we've been doing everything she told us to do. We were doing extra steps and it just stopped. Like, we were stuck at a stop sign for, like, a year or something. And after a while, my mom was like, maybe we should check for mold because this is kind of getting ridiculous. Like, we should have moved up a little bit, up to the next step.
Yeah.
So that's when she decided to check. And, of course, there was mold. Of course. Yeah.
Great. So Poppy's in the oldest room of the house. Like I mentioned, part of the house is 1951. It's just old. It was in walls and it wasn't even, I think it was aspergillus and, you know, water related over the years. Right. And so that kind of led us once it's kind of like a snowball when you find mold, right. Then you start checking all the things. And so we just decided to rip off the Band-Aid and go through a pretty big ordeal to try and make it right. But looking back, I wish I would have looked sooner. And at the same time, had I found it sooner where we were in our life, whether it was the finances or what was going on, I also couldn't have dealt with it at that time. So in a weird universal way, it happened when it happened in a better time for us, if that makes any sense.
I mean, no time is really a good time to find mold in your house.
Right.
But we had, we were in an okay spot with, like she said, the finances. So like if we would have been farther back, it would have been very difficult for us to have done all that construction because they would have been lot of money. So yeah. I'm really grateful that we found it when we did. Like, I'm not grateful that it was there. I'm very mad that it was there. Yeah. But I'm grateful that we found it when we did, because if we didn't, what if the next day we couldn't pay for it?
Right.
So I'm just grateful we found it when we could. But it's a bummer because no one wants to rip up their house and spend their money because your home should be a safe place.
Yeah, right.
But I'm just glad that it's all safe now. And so now we probably won't ever have to rip up our house again. Hopefully not.
Hopefully not in my lifetime. We're cruising again. For anyone who's listening, we are cruising again.
Yeah.
And it was pretty instantaneous.
Right after we got fixed, we were fine. So if that ever happens again, we're going to check for mold right away.
Well, I just want to
never happens.
I want to just jump in here and say a couple of things because we've actually, the next two episodes after this one are about mold. So we've got a mold expert and then a mold remediation expert. So it's perfect timing that we've got you guys getting priming everything for it. And so one thing that is important to recognize is that with homeopathy, we've talked about this on another episode. I believe it was episode 41. I can double check where there's certain things that homeopathy doesn't help with. And so we've got a lot of experts coming in to talk about the various things that homeopathy can't help with, or just to also give you some context for some of the things that parents, kids really want to learn more about. But it's important to recognize that mold is what is both a dynamic and non-dynamic state, right? So the non-dynamic part is if you're living in it and you're constantly being re-exposed, it can stall healing or like slow it down. So it feels like you're moving at a snail's pace, but clearly the mold didn't just show up all at once overnight. So you had been healing and making a lot of progress in the, like while you were still living in a moldy place. And so you just got to a point where your body had done as much as it could while it was bailing out water, while you still had a hole that, that water was coming in. Right. And so it's important to recognize that homeopathy is actually a really important part in healing mold susceptibility, sensitivity to mold, and helping your body detoxify more effectively. And there's only so far it can go if you're constantly re-exposing it. So it's a both and sort of situation, that if you're living in mold, you got to do something about it. And the reality is that mold just is in our environment. And so you are not going to be like 100% never exposed to mold ever, because you're going to open the door after a rainy day and there's going to be some mold there, right? But we don't want to be sleeping on top of it, or like, yeah, like with it, yeah, surrounding, exactly, us, so that we've got time to have some more opportunity for our brains to heal and detox, and our bodies to detox. So for anybody who might be on their healing journey with homeopathy, if you've been doing well and then reached a sticking point, mold could be an obstacle that needs to be addressed. That's just, like I said, filling up the boat with, it's a hole in the boat while you're trying to bail things out, and you can reach a point where your body's done what it can do while it's still being exposed. So
I think, Poppy, we're a good example of that.
Yeah. Poppy, what advice would you offer to any kids that have been recently diagnosed with PANDAS?
So if you're diagnosed when you're very little, you might not, I know it sounds weird, but you may not have very many memories of yourself when you're like 2 or 1. But if you're diagnosed at like me at my age, like 4 and a half, where I can remember my childhood, younger age, you know it's not you. And just, you gotta keep going, because if you stop, it's never gonna get better. It's like you have to keep climbing the hill if you wanna get better. You're gonna wanna quit. You're gonna wanna say, what's the point of this? It's not working, it's taking too long. But you have to just go with the flow, go with the ride, because I'm like literally an example. Like I'm telling you, it was so bad. And now I can sit here talking to you and I'm fine. So you just got to keep going. Don't give up. Like, just believe in yourself, believe in your doctors, believe in how much your body can heal you, because bodies are really amazing and they are very like smart. So just keep going, believe in yourself, and you just got to keep climbing the hill to reach the best view.
Awesome. What would you tell parents about what it's like to have PANDAS?
It's probably really hard. You kind of have to talk to your kid to know what they need. Some kids want attention, like they want you to hug them if they feel bad. Some kids don't. You kind of have to figure out what they want. Also, feel like there's steam coming out of your ears. It's so frustrating, but you have to keep your cool and you have to stay calm and talk to them. Like, the only way you can fix it is if you put yourself in their shoes. And remember that this is not them. This is not your angel. This is their brain attacking themselves. So you have to put yourself in their shoes and realize they need some help and it's going to get better. And you just got to be patient, because it's going to take a while. But you have to know that this isn't your kid. Like, well, it is your kid, but like, it's not that your side of your normal kid, and it'll get better. You just got to be patient and stay calm and just go along with the ride. Whatever happens, if your kid's screaming, just go with it. Don't like yell at them. You just have to let it play out.
How did it feel when you had it? Do you remember what you were telling me earlier about a robot?
Yeah, it kind of feels like you're not yourself. Like, you're a robot. Someone else has your remote controls controlling you. And so you have to think in their shoes, because it's, If you look at me now and I think about everything that I did, that I think, oh my gosh, like, that's not me at all. Like, I'm not like an aggressive person. Well, maybe I am. I don't know. But I'm not like an aggressive person.
Just a little bit.
Not, everyone is, though. But I'm not like that aggressive. So once you get to a spot I'm in, you can look back and kind of be grateful that you did homeopathy, because you get to be your true self and you've kind of taken back control. I mean, everyone has their kind of pandas days some days, but you have to keep going and fight back, because if you don't, then it's not going to get any better.
Yeah. Poppy, I would say that you are assertive and fierce. I don't know that I would say that you are aggressive at this point. Okay. I would say when you have symptoms, you are aggressive. But now I would say you are a force to be reckoned with for the good.
You can thank my Taekwondo teacher for that.
Okay, I will.
Awesome. Poppy is a mom. And whenever I was supporting my daughter through PANS, I was constantly trying to figure out how to help her, and I never knew. So I'm curious from you, what did your mom do for you that helped support you the most? What were the things that she did that helped you the most?
So obviously everyone's kind of different and we all have different symptoms. So don't take this too specifically, because I probably have different symptoms than everyone else, so it may work differently. But one of my favorite things that she did was, I know not everyone has a bathtub, but she gave me Epsom salt baths, because it helps you relax your mind and your body so you can come back to what you, so if you're, okay, let me restart. So if, I skipped a step. So if your mom wants to talk to you about what's going on, when you're in a flare, you're kind of not thinking clearly. So if you take an Epsom salt bath, it kind of calms you down and you can get back to a spot where you can think about what they're going to say, and it will actually, like, you'll actually absorb the information and it won't go in one ear, out the other. And you can kind of, they can talk to you and you'll be better at listening. And another thing is, she asked me a lot what I need. Like, she didn't come up to me and be like, oh, are you okay? Like, she was like, do you want space right now? Do you want attention, like a hug or something? So I think that's one of the best things you can do. You have to know what they want, because if you think you're helping, but if they actually don't like it, it's not really helping. So you just have to kind of talk to your kid and ask them and get to know them and what they like, and also just find ways for them to be calm. Like something that I do if I'm all like in a flare and all set or stimmed, I like to splash cold water on my face or hold on to an ice pack, because it kind of like wakes me up out of this kind of fog zombie state, and I can be like, oh shoot, I need to figure out this problem.
You know, I think that's really great advice, Poppy, period, right? Whether somebody has PANS or not, that we can't meet them with what we want, we have to meet them with what they want. And so it's even more true when you're working with somebody who is, you know, not feeling like themselves because they're in this inflamed state, in this flare state. So, but I think that's, we should all take that for our kids and for our spouses and for our parents and everybody. We need to meet people when they're in distress with what they want that would help calm them down. Yeah, that's great.
Lori. Go ahead.
Lori, you always have such great advice for the moms in our Facebook group. How have you really been able to stay so positive and supportive of others in the face of so many challenges in your own personal life?
Yeah. That's my mom right there.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell them that I don't do that at home.
No, what?
Proud of you.
Yeah, thank you. That was nice. How do I do it? You know, part of staying positive for other people, I think, is actually cathartic for me and part healing for me. So I've always been a person that likes to be a helper, just in general. So I think focusing not too much on us, because as pandas, moms and dads and caregivers, we can do that 24/7 if we want, and it can consume you. So looking to help someone else has actually helped me in return. So I think that's one way. I think the other things, you know, the same way that a homeopath has to look at trends over time to figure out what kind of remedies and you know, where to go next, I've had to learn to do that as well as a parent, is step back and embrace all the little victories along the way, the little things. I think especially early on in the journey, people get so focused on these three symptoms need to go away and this isn't happening, and so therefore it's not working, and this is not a success, and I'm mad. And the reality is, you know, we don't get to choose the order in which things go away. And so if you take that, I think you wrote something about the forest or the trees and being up here and seeing, and it makes such a difference. And learning that has helped me with my perspective. And really celebrating all those small things along the way. They are big deals. All the little things are big deals. You know, maybe your kid took one bite today. That's huge. Fantastic. That's something they couldn't do before. Maybe they wore socks today. That's also very huge. You know, maybe you made it through the night and they didn't go potty. Fantastic. Whatever it is, right? It's all those things along the way. And it's a lot of mind shifts in this thing, in this journey, that can be applied to life, really. Like I said, homeopathy, I think, has changed my outlook as a mom, as a human, so much from when we first started.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like another reason why she has like great advice is because she's been through it. If you haven't understood it or it's not happened to you, you don't really understand it, so you don't really know like how to give advice to fix it or make it better. So the only, I mean, I'm not saying you can't give advice, but I think that's why everyone who works at Resilience gives such good advice, because they've all been there and they understand and they've been in their shoes. So I think that's why how they get such good advice and how they support people the best.
Yeah.
That's one thing Lori, I was thinking is, you know, I feel like the universe just knew that you were going to be you. And unfortunately you had to go through one of everything, but going through one of everything has given you knowledge and understanding. And something that's so incredibly special about you is that you just have this ability to help us all look at things differently. I mean, you've taught me so many things about perspective and so many things, like even things I can't even articulate about, you know, why did we stick with the journey? Well, I'm not really sure, but then you come along and you explain it perfectly, because I was looking at things a little bit differently. I wish that we could just give everyone a therapeutic dose of Lori, because you just have a brighter, more positive way of looking at things and explaining to things. I feel like you're such a gift to our community and helping us moms understand things that are in there, but we don't quite get, or we can't quite articulate. And then Poppy, you too, because I just can't get over the fact that every single time we get to talk to you, you are so much more confident. And so, like,
thank you.
I think I said this the last time we talked, it's just so wild listening to you talk, because my daughter doesn't remember hardly anything back in Pants. She was 4 and a half. And for some reason, her brain just doesn't remember it, whatever reason that is. But listening to you is like listening to her story. And to me, that's such a gift. It's such a gift to so many families that are hear the podcast. So we just absolutely love you guys both and are so thankful that you're always willing to come and share your stories and your joy and your happiness and your enthusiasm about homeopathy. It's such a gift.
Sometimes it's hard to remember for me, because you don't want to remember the hard times, but I've tried to hold on to it because it can be really important. And also, it's like your life story. Like, that's what you're going to tell your kids, who are going to tell their kids. And so sometimes I want to block it all out and be like, that never happened and I'm fine. But I know in my heart that that's not true. And it's just who I am, who I'm going to be. And like, that's just it. Like, it's mm-hmm. just something that happened in the past, and you can't change what happened. So you just have to like look at it from a different perspective, because I'm like way older now. So I actually understand. And yeah. You just have to try to remember and make good of what it was.
Yeah, you're the you're the child of a strong warrior advocator that is in your DNA, and look at you, you're like marching it out perfectly. You're telling your story just like your mom is. It's really there's something so special about you guys.
So
thank you for those really kind
thank
words.
Thank you.
Well, if one of my things that I, as a, you know, a homeopath, is that I need to listen to things and I need to be able to like pinpoint what's going on and like summarize. And what I'm hearing from both of you is that I'm hearing acceptance. I'm hearing that like that's like a big key to how you are able to see the positive, like the glimmers, that's what we're calling it now, right? The glimmers, of events that, you know, you were able to celebrate them so much more, because instead of focusing on, I hate this. I need to squash it. We need to get rid of this. We need to push it away. We need to like try to make our lives be perfect, even though it can't be. You had a whole lot of acceptance and you went with it. You're like, I'm going to do what we can to change it, but this is all we can do. You accepted it. You rode with it. And I think that allowed space for you to see more of like the positive things and to have more patience, other than when, you know, you might've aggravated your kids by going too fast.
But no one's going to know that. This isn't going to reach anyone. Right.
Don't tell anyone.
So, and I love that you said too, it really can make a huge difference when you're able to offer hope to people, because we can have those occasions to then remember, well, this is what I would say to somebody else. This is what I should be saying to myself too, in those hard moments. And I think that the more you actually say it, the more it's like right there and available in your brain, that when you need to give yourself grace, that it's right there because you just gave it to somebody else. So you just have to like look slightly to the side and say, oh yeah, I deserve that too. So I think that that's such a beautiful thing, and why I love, I hate that people need to be part of the PANS community and part of our, like come into our Facebook group, but I also love how much the community really gives to each other and uplifts and supports each other, in so many ways. And that's the biggest way that you are able to uplift and support other members of the community. So we are always so grateful for our conversations with you guys. Today is no different. Poppy, as always, just dropping some like great life advice and wisdom. You are wise beyond your years. And I can't wait to talk to you when you are even older and like you're getting ready to step out and do a lot of things and like make your own way in the world, because I can't wait to see what's in store for you.
Thank you.
I can't wait. And I really like time to slow down.
Yes. Agreed. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we hope that the next two episodes that are about mold will help anybody who might have heard some of the similar story for them and give you guys some insight. So I'm hoping you guys are going to check them out too. We hope that you guys will find a lot of great insights, and we'll talk to you guys then. All right.
Bye.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for pans and pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.